sit down because we'll be ready to get going. And the first Sunday of every month, we show a video of a new song for the month. So you're going to hear that song again a little later on when we take an offering, and that is a new song for the month. So we hope that you're all encouraged and learn that so we can all sing together. Just a couple of things, announcements before we go. It's pretty much all laid out in your bulletin, so I'm not going to take up a whole lot of time, just some dates to be aware of. We're doing Pre-Fund Fellowship Day, which is a little bit out of the ordinary, and we'd like to make sure that we extend the invitation out next Sunday. We are going to take worship to Apple Valley Norwood. We go to Apple Valley at 3 o'clock and we go to Oakwood at 4 o'clock. So if you've got part of that time that you would like to help us come and sing with the people and take a message of hope in the gospel to those who would love to be with us on Sundays but can't that have particular trouble getting out of the care facilities, we want to make sure that you are aware that that happens and that we would like to invite all of you to join us. That being said, I would like to open with a verse from Joshua 24. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we gather today offer up songs of worship and praise to you. We're reminded this morning that you are the same God that brought the people out of bondage, and that you are the same God that brings each one of us out of bondage. We are so grateful for all the blessings that come with being followers of you. Simply the most important is your presence in our life as we go through both the victories and the challenges. There are those in our family that we love and that we look forward to seeing each week that are not here. We know that you are with them in both their, whether they're away on vacation or whether they're seeking medical help or whatever keeps them away from us this morning. We just ask that you would prick their heart, soften their heart, and remind them that you are with them wherever they are, and that we miss them here, and that we look forward to being gathered around the glow of worship in your name as a body of believers again. Please bless these proceedings that they might be found acceptable to you, and that it would be all about offering up our worship and praise to you in the name of your Son, our Savior.
Good morning. We invite you to stand now and sing with us our opening hymn. We know that God's always with us, but in this song we invite him to enter into our worship in a very special way. Say, come, come thou almighty King.
Glory.
time in our service for the children's moment, so we invite all kids to come on up at this time and have a seat.
All right, we got the newest member here. She's gonna pay attention too,
yes,
huh?
Grandma can bring her pink.
I love it. Well, today we're going to talk about something a little bit different, or at least we're going to start with something a little bit different. I dug around in my ABC puzzle and I found a picture of a lion. And the other day I was watching the Discovery Channel and I saw a story or a report on lions and how they operate and what works for them and what doesn't work. And I thought maybe we could just talk a little bit about that, because the more that I found, I thought, oh, you know, that's kind of like church. And you know that lions, they live in a group called a pride, where we call church, they call pride. And a pride can have 12 members. It can be that small, or it could be as many as 35, 40 members. And they all live together and coexist. And there's mother lions, daddy lions, and there are baby lions called cubs. And you know, everybody takes care of all those little cubs. If the mom happens to be out hunting for dinner, somebody else will take care of that little cub. And we kind of do that here as a church family. We try and take care of one another and to become a family, not a pride, but a family. And we take care of those who are sick. We take care of those who are needy. We do various things because this is what Jesus wants. And the one thing that pride doesn't have, even though God made those lions, they never know the love and the care that Jesus does for us. And where there occasionally is a growly lion, there might be a growly one around here too. And that's okay, we're family and we put up with one another's growls and one another's idiosyncrasies, we call them. But I just kept thinking, oh my goodness, that's just like, and I think about the various ones that are out there and the various kids that we take care of here and how important it is that we have this pride, these living lions to take care of. It tells us in Philippians, it says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that's what Jesus wants for each one of us. That we sometimes, and maybe the majority of the time, say, what I want isn't important, what God wants is what's important. And what we do to take care of one another, to pray for one another, to love one another, occasionally feed one another, is what makes us a family that I'm proud of, but I also love a great deal. And I hope that you, each one of you, think about your place in that family. And I just have to say, Julia came back. She's been gone how long, Julia?
Bobby?
You know, not even quite a year? Okay. And she looks so different. She's grown so. And she's such a part of, she used to be down here every Sunday. And I said, Dale, you remember Julia? No. I said, she looks different. So I hope that each one of us are proud of who we are just like the lions are proud, that we will care for one another. And we're so glad when one of our baby lions comes back. Let's pray. Precious Lord, you have told us to take care of one another, to look for those that haven't as much as we do, to feed and nurture one another. And within the church family, that's especially important. We think of those that are sick. Steve's in the hospital. We want your hand on his, on him, even though he is not here. We miss those that are gone for one reason or another. So Lord, pull us together as a church family and help us to love one another and care for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Jane. Let's take a moment now as the kids return to their seats to reach out and meet those around us. We'll continue with our service in just a minute.
I'm alive when you breathe on me. Well, that says it all. Awake, awake, my soul. And I really, truly appreciate the graphics that Naomi often puts behind these things. You got the bright sun, like we got today, after a really nice rain, and things are really green out there. So there's no reason for our souls not to be awake. This morning we had some prayer concerns. Al and Margarita were here a little bit earlier, and he started having chest pains. So they went over to the hospital to kind of see what that was all about. So be sure, whatever you do, keep them in your prayer. Of course, we got Steve. Steve's kind of been around too a little bit. He had to go back in for some more surgery because of an unfortunate fall that took place. And Irene and Lois over here at the care center, we know that they need our prayers always. Joni's back there. She comes every time she can. And Joni, we always appreciate having her smiling face present here. Myrna, I think I seen Myrna today. Oh, there she is. Didn't see very good. I got to get new glasses, Randy. So keep that in mind. And Dennis Welch. And let's see, I don't see anybody else there, but we know there's others out there that need our prayers as well. So please pray with me for just a moment here, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do gather here indeed on this joyous Lord's Day morning, really awaking our souls as we see the beautiful sun and the wonders of the creations that you have placed around us in this entire world. Father, what beauty, what awesomeness you have made for us as we live here on earth, and we understand the beauty and then some will be available when we go to heaven. Father, in our midst, there are those that need our prayers. We have Al and Margarita dealing with some heart concerns. We ask that you be with them this morning, and may the doctors sort that out really, relatively quickly. For Steve Cartwright, he's up and going again, and may he also be on the mend to getting back with us here in the church. For Lois and Irene over at the nursing home, please be with them. We know that that has to be difficult at times, but at least we do see some real positiveness in both their faces when we do stop to visit with them. Dennis always needs your help. Myrna as well. And Joni, we love having Joni here, and we appreciate your presence in all their lives. Father, we ask that you be with us in our lives as we stroll down this earthly journey, helping us to choose the right path, going the right direction, carrying your word to others so that they too might find the happiness and joys of Christian living and Christian giving. Father, we ask thy blessings on these tithes and offerings too, and may they fulfill some of the things you want us to do as we proceed forward. We also ask that you be with Scott and Robin. Soon they will be departing for Sierra Leone, and we do want them to be successful in their mission work over there. In thy risen Savior's name we pray. Amen. Yeah. It's always interesting, you know, when, at least when I come up front here to try to deliver a message or even help at the table, boy, my throat gets dry as could be. It feels like the Sahara Desert, and I'm shaking a little bit to get started. So bear with me. That's always the case, and I think the good Lord hopefully will calm me down and things will go okay this morning. You know, the title of the message, at least, that I decided this morning was Heaven, What Will Be It Will Be Like. And there's no better thing to talk about than what heaven will be like, really. It's wonderful expectations. And incidentally, Jane, I also got my lion here on my tie here, too. So I guess I didn't know that you were going to do that, but maybe that's that premonition I had in the night. I thought, well, Jane Beard's going to bring something to children moment. So maybe I should try to figure out what that is. I put on the tie this morning. I didn't know that's what it was, but it worked anyway. So whatever works, works. And I think the good Lord might have been doing a little divine intervention there as well. So the message this morning is from Romans 8:18-23, and we'll talk about that in a few moments as well, but I want to start with just a few little introductory comments. Like usually happens when the opportunity to deliver a message comes up, I start fretting and stewing about what appropriate scripture to use with a catchy little title. Then I see Mrs. Tarr down the street, and I told her, I'm going to give the message today. She says, so that makes me friends do a little bit more. we love having Mrs. Starr down there, sort of the queen of North 16th Street. I toyed around with scriptures of forgiveness, which offered uncountable possibilities. I also thought about a spinoff of scriptures that Pastor Jordan gave in his message titled Know Your Creator to the graduates at Baccalaureate a few weeks back. That was a great message, and I think I may try to adjust that someday and use it at one of a few funerals that I've been asked to officiate at. I asked God what direction he thought I should take, especially with a bit of short time preparation, and the subject of heaven kept floating to the surface. What an absolutely beautiful topic heaven is, and the Bible has so much to tell us about heaven and what it will be like. At Bible study the other morning, I mentioned to Bob Speaker, he's one of our new additions to the Bible study, and we love having him there, that I will be a little bit worried and nervous about my delivery on this message. And his comment was, just speak the truth and the water will run through you. So I think that might be why I'm sweating today, I'm not sure. The truth is essential, and God promised that he would do all he could to inspire me and help me out. That made me feel a little more relaxed, but the vision of water running through me first made me a little bit nervous. But I'm going to go on the basis that it is just this perspiration I was talking about. And in the Bible, water is symbolic of many purifying qualities. Each one of us probably has our own different vision of what heaven will be like. And I'm sure the most common denominator for all of us who think of heaven is that it will be absolutely awesome beyond our most beautiful expectations. Our minds cannot simply comprehend the total glory that awaits us when we get to heaven. But while it's true we don't know the details about heaven, the Bible does give us a general idea. What we discovered is absolutely mind-blowing. There are many scriptures that give a great picture of what heaven will look like. And I often use Romans 8:18-23, which I'm going to read here, as an example that I really like. It talks about the future glory. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will give us later. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for the future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sun, death, and decay, the things that overcome the world against its will at God's command will all disappear. And the world around us shall be in glorious freedom from the sin which God's children enjoy. Where's freedom? From the sins, so that God's children will really enjoy it. For we know that even the things of nature, like animals, lions for instance, plants, suffer sickness and death as they await this great event. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from the pain and suffering in the world that we have today. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including new bodies as he has promised us, bodies that will never be sick again and will never die. That scripture, coupled with a look at what heaven won't be like, really etches the picture of this experience when we get there. In heaven, there will be no hate, no foul language, no back talk, no fear, and no crime. There will be no power shortages, for God is all powerful. Nor will there be bills or taxes, sickness, no hospital, no physical handicaps, no nervous breakdowns, nor depression, nor the unending taking of pills and other necessary medications that we survive on while on earth. There will be no bumping into things in the dark, no sleepless nights. There will be no night. Revelations 21, 23 to 25 says, "And the city will have no need for sun or moon or anything to light it, for the glory of God and the Lamb will illuminate it. Its light will light the nations of the earth, and the rulers will come and bring their glory to it. Its gates will never close, and they will stay open all day long. There is no night." 1 John 3, 1-3 states, "See how much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children." Just think of that. We really are His children. But since many people don't know God, naturally, they don't understand that we are His children. Yes, dear friends, we are already God's children right this moment. We can't imagine what it's going to be like later on when we get to heaven. But we do know this, that when He comes, we will be like Him as a result of seeing Him as He really is today. And everyone who really believes this will try to stay pure because Christ is pure. When we enter heaven, we will be changed physically and spiritually. C.S. Lewis best stated a description of heaven in these very short words: "Joy is the business of heaven." Surely heaven will be a place of joy and productive work. It will not seem like work because we will savor all the fruits of our labor. Everyone will reap the benefit of all the fruit that is produced. Revelation talks about new heavens and new earth. In Revelation 21, 1-4, the Apostle John writes, "Then I saw a new earth with no oceans, a new sky for the present earth, and a new sky and the present sky of earth had disappeared." John actually had a sneak preview. Jesus gave him that moment. A vision of heaven, and he further states, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." Jerusalem means city of peace. It was a glorious sight, as beautiful as a bride at her wedding. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, the home of God is now among men." I need a little bit of that moisture right now. Can't get the page to turn. "And He will live with them, and they will be His people." Yes, God Himself will be among them. "He will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that is gone forever." Again, in Revelation 21, 15 and 16, it states that the new Jerusalem will be massive. It will be 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. In fact, it is in the form of a cube. An angel, in his hand a measuring stick, will measure the new Jerusalem, finds that the walls will be 216 feet wide, and they will be made of jasper and built on 12 layers of foundation stones inlaid with gems. The first layer will be jasper, and other layers include sapphire, emerald, chrysolite, topaz, amethyst, as well as many other precious gems. The city itself will be pure, transparent gold like glass. Try to picture in your minds the synergistic beauty of all these things placed together. It both literally and figuratively had to be totally out of this world. We will no longer sin. Philippians 1:6 tells us that God, who began the work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished. On that day when Jesus Christ returns. In heaven, Jesus will remove our sinful nature and complete making us the new creations. Imagine that you have a computer program that has problems. I don't have to imagine that. Mine has problems all the time. Sometimes it might be me, not the computer. Those computers, I don't know, sometimes they just drive me batty, but people say you're already there anyway, so what difference does it make? Then a new program comes out, and that makes it more difficult yet. But in our case, when you get to heaven, it won't be Windows. Let's just call it Human 10. The new version of us will be all good, and everything bad will be eliminated or fixed. And not only that, there will be new, wonderful features in that Human 10's program that will be added to the new heavenly citizens present there. That's what we'd like to be. That's what it will be like when we get to heaven. God created some spectacular and beautiful places here on earth. To name a few, the Grand Canyon, the Black Hills, which I literally love and go out there for the last 12 or 13 years, the Rockies, Yellowstone, and Glacier National Park, plus many, many more. In Iowa, God created the beauty of the limestone bluffs along the Mississippi River and the wind-blown Lost Hills of western Iowa. And yes, right here in Clear Lake itself is one of the many masterpieces of God's beautiful creations. These beautiful creations will not hold a candle to the beauty in heaven. Heaven's beauty will be beyond our wildest imagination. In Revelations 21, 18, 19, and 21, the best John could do to describe heaven was to say, it was like an entire city of transparent gold. The walls of the new city are precious jewels. The gates are 12 single pearls. The city itself are streets of gold, yet, as I said, like transparent glass. The whole city is lighted up by the glory of God, producing a rainbow of colors. Again, can you imagine that? What a wonderful sight it will be. Heaven is a place of matchless beauty and blessings. The leaves of the tree of life will guarantee our health. And the crystal pure water of the river of life will flow from the throne of God to the tree of eternal life. In Revelation 2:7, we read that for the first time since the Garden of Eden, God's children may eat out of the tree of paradise. In heaven, there will not be any subject to the law of physics. In John 20, 19 and 26, we find Jesus walking through walls and locked doors to reach his disciples. Elsewhere, we read about angels that appear and disappear. That picture reminds me of Roma Downey's series, Touched by an Angel, and I really loved that program. It was just a wonderful program. I wish we could see more programs like that. I know there's things in there that aren't totally true, but just the fact that it's positive, upbeat, and gives you thought about heaven is really got to be wonderful. In heaven, we will be able to travel anywhere instantly. It'll be just like Scotty a little bit on Star Trek. I don't know if some of you folks won't remember Scotty. I'm not a Star Trek fan, but Scotty could beam himself up, and all of a sudden he was one place to another. It'll be kind of like that. I don't think we'll be doing it the same way, but it'll be kind of like that. And, you know, Dr. Spock, you know, he was there too, and all them funny years and all that other sort of stuff. We will be able to beam ourselves up and travel anywhere instantly. We will be able to walk through objects and able to touch and eat like Jesus did in John 20, 27 and in John 21, 10 to 15. Paul tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, he says, so eating will be done for pleasure and not necessity. Well, some of us, you know, we eat for pleasure and necessity both, but sometimes we overdo a bit too. Sometimes we do gorge ourselves with so much food that our pleasure diminishes here on earth. And our tummies feel a little bit overwhelmed. In heaven, we won't need to do that. And we won't need any Tums or Alka-Seltzer or any other remedies. It is good to know that plab, and in this church, plab means potlucks are biblical, will happen in heaven. But there will be no need to gouge ourselves to the point of feeling irpy. My spell check on the computer, that word irpy, just never seemed to come up. But I'm going to use it this way anyway, because in heaven, we don't have to ever worry about irpy. In Revelation 22, verse 2, it tells us that heaven will be the tree of life that bears 12 different kinds of fruit each month. Some think that there may be a feast each month. And I can imagine several folks in the church here would be fired up about a feast each month. You know, that'll be good fun food and fellowship. Obviously going to take place again today. And I know Tabitha's lining up the troops to go to Hickory Park. I'm not going to be able to make it because we got a ball game with the grandson. But boy, when you go to Hickory Park, you're certainly get a lot of food and have a lot of fun, and you'll have an opportunity to fellowship. So that will occur in heaven too, but I don't think it'll be at Hickory Park. It may be someplace better. Boy, I'm going to have somebody come up here and turn the pages. Maybe I wipe my brow, that'll help. We will have deeper relationships. There will be no marriage in heaven. Matthew 22:30 states that the reason is that relationships will be much deeper than anything on earth. Remember, we'll be free from sin. Relationships will be pure and free of doubt, jealousy, and gossip. Love, joy, and peace in heaven. We can experience these things the way they were meant to be experienced. We can only experience them in part right now while here on earth. While it's true that we love and have joy and peace in parts of the world, we don't fully experience them because we also know that there is hate, there is grieving, there is witness to horror of wars, there is ISIS, and to know and encounter other terrible things that do occur here in our earthly life. In heaven, when these things are removed, we will love and rejoice and live in peace completely. In heaven, we will recognize one another. Matthew 17:3 gives us a little insight here. Moses and Elijah appear and talk with Jesus. Peter recognizes both of them, even though they lived many years before him. In heaven, we will not only know our loved ones, but everyone else who is there. We currently live in a fallen and imperfect world. People do get sick. They do suffer, and they do die. In heaven, that won't be true. God tells us in heaven there will no longer be any curse. Revelation 21:4 tells us he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things will pass away. Heaven will be a world where the eyes of the blind shall open and the ears of the deaf shall unstop. And the lame will leap like a deer. I just kind of picture that. You know, one of these days, Steve is going to be leaping like a deer here on earth. But when he gets to heaven, he's going to be leaping a lot more. The mute tongue will shout and sing with joy. Springs will burst and fill the wilderness, and streams will occur in the desert. The parched ground will become a pool with springs of water in a thirsty land. Where desert jackals live, there will be springs and rushes. Isaiah says in 35:5-6, there will be no more suffering in heaven. In heaven, there will be new names, new imperishable bodies, and we will be clothed in white robes of righteousness. We will be glorious stones, pillars in the eternal temple of God. Scripture reference for this includes 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Peter 2, and Revelation 3. Revelation 21:4, best of all in heaven, states, best of all in heaven with God, Jesus will be the place, with God and Jesus, it will be a place of love. God in his tender love will wipe out all tears from our eyes. And then there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. All that will be gone forever. The angels will rejoice as heaven fills with righteous Christians. Those spirits who have hungered and have thirst to humbly live with God, those with pure hearts, those who willingly endure persecution, and those that have lived in God's peace will live together a life of joy and love forever and ever. Again, as C.S. Lewis best described heaven when he states, joy is the business of heaven. More important than anything else will be that we will be with our Lord and Savior forever. From his throne flows the river of life. It will be perfect, clear as crystal. We will see his face, and we'll see his face face to face, according to Revelations 22:4. How many times have I said that? Revelation. Boy. We will worship him and be his people, and he will be our God. As we see Christ face to face, his presence will dominate heaven, the same way the sun dominates the hot summer sky. If heaven had only those streets of gold, precious gems, and angels singing overhead, but no Jesus, we wouldn't even notice the other things. They would not proclaim the holiness of heaven unless Jesus is present. Because just as the sun illuminates the summer sky, so the gloriousness of Christ illuminates all heaven. We will be able to talk to him. We will be able to ask him questions and listen to what he has to say. Imagine hearing his voice. The Bible says it will be like the voice of many waters, like the voice of thunder. Imagine the stories he will tell, the lessons he will teach, and the love he will share. Although Jesus gave this revelation to him, the revelation of himself to John nearly 2,000 years ago, it still stands as a warning to God's people today. We can take heart as we understand John's vision and hope. Christ will return his people and settle accounts with those that defy him. Revelation is a book of hope. John, the beloved apostle, eyewitnessed that with Jesus and proclaims that their victorious Lord will surely return to vindicate the righteous and judge the wicked. But Revelation is also a book of warning. Things will not be as they should be in the churches today. Christ is calling us to commit ourselves to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and to live a life spreading the good news and word to others. Now let's take one moment, and it's going to be just one moment because I don't want to spoil the upbeat positiveness of the story about heaven, and tell how the Bible discusses hell. It's not a pretty picture. We could deliver a message on hell, but it would not be any fun. It would be most depressing. So I'm just going to have a few scriptures here, and then we're going to move back to that wonderful heaven that we want to look forward and live in. Here are a couple of the scriptures that describe what hell will be like. Revelation 21:8 states that the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all the liars will live a second death. They will be placed in a burning lake of fiery sulfur. 2 Thessalonians state that they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the majesty of his power. Matthew chapter 13 states that they will be thrown in the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eternity in hell will not be a pleasant time. It will be total darkness and total ugliness. There are a lot of other scriptures describing the horrors of hell, but let's get back to something awesome like heaven. We all have a choice to make. Which place will you choose to spend eternity in? Heaven or hell? Really, it shouldn't take long for anyone with a sound mind to make the right decision, or with a right mind to make the sound decision. This message here this morning is mostly from Revelations 21 and 22, although I can go back to Romans 8. And that's where I really like to use in any time I'm giving a message. What is so wonderful about it is Jesus' excitement. You can secure what he longs to share in heaven with us. When we get to heaven, he will smile, put his arms out and around us and say, all of this I have prepared for you because I love you. Enjoy my fellowship. Then we will live happily ever for after and after with God. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our personal friend. You will likely know the lyrics from what I'm about to read. I'm going to let you guys decide what those are, but I think you'll quickly pick up on that. When we've been gone 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we just begun. This will be heaven. Will you and I be there? We hope that we will be, and if we do the right thing, we can be. We can unlock the life living with Christ, with God, forever and ever in his magnificent beauty. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, indeed, we do really appreciate the beauty of what you have done for us here in the creations here on earth. And as we read the scriptures, we do appreciate the excitement, the possibilities, the awesomeness of what heaven will really be like. We also know that we fall short of the things that you want us to do, you know, almost, well, many times a day. We ask that you get us back on track as often as possible, that you help us walk the life that you want us to walk down that sometimes difficult trail rather than sometimes veer off on the easier wrong trail. Father, we ask that you make your presence known within all our hearts, with those that cannot commune with us today. And may you also be with those that are dealing with injuries and sickness and other things in their life. May you give them the comfort that they need to go forth and live for you, with you. In thy risen Savior's name we pray. Amen.
You know, as I listened to Ron talk about heaven and the contrast between heaven and hell and between some of the things that we deal with here on earth, I was reminded of Jesus' teaching that is documented for us in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me." But you know, he also gave us several promises. And one of the promises that I hold dear is the promise that he gave us when he instituted the communion table. Jesus said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Almighty Father, as we gather around this table, as we partake in communion and remember the gift of your Son, our Savior, we know that while we are here on earth, that we are subject to trials and tribulations. And I can't imagine going through those times without our Savior with us. How desperate that must feel. I look forward to the fulfillment of this promise that Jesus gives us, in which he tells us that we will commune with him in heaven. Please bless this time, a time where we stop and remember the gift of your Son, what that means to each of us in our life. Help us remember that that golden jewel is not something to be kept and hidden, but to be exposed and to be shared with those around us. That as we go about our daily life, those that we encounter would want to know more about our Savior, that they would want to know what it is that gives us so much hope. We pray all these things in the name of one that gives us that hope, Jesus. Amen.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only
tradition in this church is each Sunday, if anyone has a prayer concern, a special prayer concern, or has something on their mind that they'd like to sort of get off of it and they wish to pray about it, they can certainly come up here to the altar and do that, or they can talk to one of the elders or anyone that they might know. And the pastor, when he gets back, and we'd certainly be happy to talk to you about anything regarding the Word and our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. We also offer that opportunity for anyone that would like to join the church, to be baptized in the church. That also opportunity is afforded to you. So if there's anyone that would like to consider that, we certainly welcome that as you decide, you know, what your future might be in terms of our church or just in terms of living with Jesus again. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, once again, we are so thankful for opportunity after opportunity you give us here in our earthly life. Opportunity to enjoy and see and feel the wonders of your creations here on earth. And Father, we know, too, that if we walk the Christian walk and talk the Christian talk, we can find heaven and be a part of that totally awesome, totally beautiful, totally glorious place where we live with God, where we live with Jesus, where we're able to commune and talk with Him and others while there and for eternity. And Father, we ask that you make your presence known to each and every one of us and to those that still have not found you, so that they too can find the joys of Christian living. We ask these things in thy risen Savior's, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Let you rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope. Like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. We are your church. We need your power. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives for your Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Pray you have a great day and a great week, and see you next Sunday.